Hello and welcome to My Psychotherapy Career, a podcast where we explore the different therapeutic settings our members work in and how they came into their career. I'm Jenna Rashid, the Digital Engagement Officer at UKCP. Our host, Helen Willingham, is the Head of Content and Engagement at UKCP, overseeing all our communications to members and the public, as well as our policy and research work. In this episode, Helen speaks to UKCP's psychotherapist, Siobhan McGee. Siobhan began her career working in the film industry, but her interests in holistic and complementary therapies led her to become a qualified aromatherapist. She worked with several organisations, including London Lighthouse, Immune Development Trust, and across several NHS treatment schemes. Her work has led her to gain a deep interest in mindfulness, which she has explored in her training with the Karuna Institute in Core Process Psychotherapy. Qualifying as a UKCP accredited practitioner in 2003, Siobhan has since been in private practice. Joining the Karuna Institute in 2016, she is now both a tutor and the co-director of this UKCP accredited training organisation. Through her career, she has developed an interest in trauma, and she has worked with organisations in both the public and private sector, like the London Fire Brigade, Pret A Manger, the European Central Bank, and St Mungo's. In this episode, Helen speaks to Siobhan McGee about her career and how she has followed her interests, taking on new roles and challenges.
Thank you very much for joining me today. Really great to have you and to talk about your career.
Oh, thanks. It's my pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
So previously you worked as an aromatherapist. What prompted you to move into psychotherapeutic training from that career?
I had always thought I would just be an aromatherapist, but I specialised as an aromatherapist, and I was working with organisations like London Lighthouse and Body Positive and various NHS treatment schemes around London and Northwest London. And I specialised in working with people who had been diagnosed HIV positive, or for those who were living with a challenge of HIV, or who had gone on to develop AIDS. And at the time I was practicing, there wasn't the same medication. So, you know, we have medication now, combination therapies and stuff. So people are not nowadays living with a death sentence, but back then, you know, it was a death sentence. It was very, very, very frightening for people. And if you talk to anyone who was involved at that time, they'll say that, you know, we were sort of going to funerals on a weekly basis at that time. So it was a real time of trauma. And I had felt, ever since I'd started doing my aromatherapy training, I'd felt that it was really important and could make a very important contribution, because it was combining touch with the kind of very beautiful aromas of plants and herbs and flowers. And I felt that it was really important that with an illness which really was a stigmatizing illness that was aimed at communities that were already stigmatized, that I felt that it was really had something to offer. But what it did was it led me to the path of mindfulness and meditation and looking at my own mortality. But it also was a time, as I said, of trauma. And at one level, I felt I really needed to develop more skills in order to help support the people that I was working with, who were coming with considerable fear, trauma, anxiety. And, you know, I just felt it was really important to develop skills. What I didn't know was that actually what I was unconsciously hearing was that part of me that really needed to walk my path of healing. And, you know, I'm still on that path.
So did you bring some of that work that you'd kind of done in aromatherapy and the people that you'd worked with into your psychotherapy career as well?
So I didn't actively, you know, continue to work in that field as a psychotherapist, mm-hmm. but I think working in that field, and I didn't go into, you know, working in hospice, although it is, you know, a path I think I probably could have taken. Like any kind of deep process, once you've kind of taken that path, it's always with you. So it's in the room with me as a psychotherapist, and I'm not afraid when people, you know, kind of come and they have illness, or they talk about death and dying. And it's also a part, as you may know, my training is a Buddhist informed psychotherapy training, and so that really helps me to kind of hold that ground of impermanence, of the nature of death and dying. And I think that whole territory actually really, really kind of helps us to be able to kind of live well.
Thank you. Just thinking about UKCP, what does being a member mean to you?
For me, it's really important to be part of a community of practice. And what I like about UKCP is that we've got different modalities. So there's a huge kind of rich diversity of modalities. And I really like being a part of a community of practice that has lots of different kind of ways of looking at psychotherapy. It's really important to me that I'm on a well-regarded professional register. One of the reasons why I chose the training that I did was that it was a UKCP registered training. And it still is. And I think that's really important that the trainings are held with rigorous training standards. And so I think those three things combined have always been really important to me.
Thank you. And when you finished your training and you'd qualified, how did you establish yourself in private practice?
I find this kind of difficult to say now, but when I finished my training, it was in the days really before the internet had sort of kicked off, which makes me feel incredibly old. But so it was leaflets, it was having little flyers and putting them up around health food shops and cafes in my local area, and word of mouth, sort of saying to people, I'm now qualified and I'm a psychotherapist and I'm open for business, sort of thing. And and I asked people, not necessarily close friends or family, because there are boundaries around that, but to tell them, to tell other people in a way that I was now sort of setting up. So a lot of it was word of mouth. But I also feel, and I, we do say this to our students, that it's really important to sit with an intention. So, I had a room where I was working, and even if I didn't have a client, I would go and sit, in front of an empty chair. And that was one of the things that one of my tutors had said, just go with the intention of this is what you're doing, and sit with that intention and see how it emerges. So that's what I did.
That's great, thank you. And you've worked with a variety of organisations. Can you tell us about what drew you to that work of actually working with organisations and what you gained from working alongside other colleagues with those?
Well, I'd worked in organisations previously to becoming a psychotherapist, because it was sort of how I funded my psychotherapy training. So I'd worked in human resources and learning and development roles as a consultant too. And, I'd always been interested in people and in teams and how they work and, what we're bringing into our working lives from our histories. And it was a natural progression for me to continue to kind of offer that into organizations. And one organization that I had worked with, so I'd done some training for one organization, and they knew that I had recently qualified as a psychotherapist. And they had a situation where one of their staff had been exposed to a traumatic incident. So they contacted me and just asked me if I would help them. And so it was sort of from there that the combination of organizational psychotherapy sort of developed and evolved. And then in the last 10 to 15 years, I've really been able to transfer my understanding of trauma, because on our Karuna psychotherapy training, we really look at trauma, we look at the body, and I was able to kind of really bring this into an organizational setting. And so I've sort of specialized in that, in helping organizations to become trauma informed, and I've been involved with organizations in Europe and in the UK. Really helping them to develop their policies, their procedures, but also to really think about how they support their staff and developing training. And I've worked with other colleagues, and I really enjoy this aspect of working together on a project. You sort of see things from a different perspective. There's a reflective process that happens when you're working as co-consultants, and you can really begin to understand the organizational dynamics, but also the parallel processes that might be happening in our relationship. And it's also really important, if you're working, for me anyway, if you're working with trauma dynamics and you're working with groups and organizations, that it's important to work with at least one colleague or a team because it's very hard to hold that all by yourself. So, I find it really enjoyable working with people that I've worked with.
How did you balance that alongside your private practice?
Well, as my practice grew, I was able to allocate several days a week to that work. And, I was able to leave one or two days for my psychotherapy practice. So I separated my week out, and I would kind of have a couple of days where I was doing either part-time kind of contracts with organizations or consultancy work. But it meant I had to be really selective and boundaries about the organizational work because I really hold my commitment to my clients in private practice very seriously. So I didn't want any other work to take privilege over that. It was a gradual transition, and as the private practice developed a bit more space in my week, so the consultancy sort of waned a bit, and then vice versa. Sometimes the private practice would wane a bit, and there'd be a bit more organisational consultancy work. It's been a process of trust, I think, but seems to have worked out so far.
Yeah, that's good. And I think we're going to talk about a few other roles that you do as well. So that variety is obviously a big part of how you work as well. In 2016, you actually took on a role of as a tutor at Karuna. You've mentioned that the Karuna Institute was where you trained. How did that come about?
I mean, as I've said, so a lot of my career has been involved in vocational and professional training. So, as an aromatherapist, I taught for the Tisserand Institute, and that was set up by Robert Tisserand, who was the person who brought aromatherapy to the UK and the US, and he wrote the first book about it. So, I ended up teaching there. So, it sort of felt like vocational learning is important, and they were looking for tutors, and I applied for it. And, I really love teaching. The experience is so rich, to see people growing and changing. And of course, on a psychotherapy training, that's over a considerable period of time. You really get to see people deepen into themselves. They go through, big life stages. And of course, when they begin to be able to share their learning and, put that into clinical practice, well, that's just really wonderful to be witness to that. And so, when a teaching role came up and I had space in my life, I applied and I was offered a job as a tutor and have been a tutor at Karuna Institute ever since.
You're now a co-director as well, I understand.
Yes, I am.
How do you think your previous experience has helped you develop into that leadership role as well?
Sometimes when you're kind of looking back at things, or you're doing something, you don't quite understand the skills that you're developing or the knowledge that you're developing and how it might kind of, evolve later. And, the role that I'm currently doing feels like it's a role that really kind of integrates all of my kind of work experience, my life experience. It's kind of woven all the threads of that together. So, for example, I started off working in the film industry as a production assistant, and you need really good organizational skills to do that because you're dealing with a lot of money and, one day shoot and stuff like that. So it gave me really, really good organizational skills. And then being on the assessment board and learning so much about other training organizations, that really gave me an understanding of what a training organization needs from the inside. And so, I think I was the right person at the right time to take the organisation forward because the founder, Maura Sills, was retiring and the institute was going to close. And so, myself and my co-director, Johnny White, we decided that we would take that forward. And I think I was really, had the right combination of skills to be, to be co-director.
Looking back and thinking about your training, is there anything you wish you knew before you started?
I just think it's a wonderful path to go on. In the last 25 years, we've seen incredible development and growth. As I said, when I first began, we didn't really have the internet, and now we're talking about artificial intelligence. So I've got no idea how the profession's going to evolve, and there'll always be things that we don't expect. For example, I never expected to be working online, and now a large chunk of my work is online. So there are things, aren't there, that happen that we just cannot imagine. So, for example, the pandemic, all training institutes had to go online. So, there's something about staying open-minded, I think. Psychotherapy trainings help us to really explore ourselves, and I think you've got to be willing to do that and to be open-minded to different perspectives. One thing that I think as a profession we sort of really need to talk about a bit more, and I think I would say to any trainee, is we don't really talk about much about money and finance. And I think when I was younger, I probably wouldn't have listened to anyone who was talking about pensions and things like that. But as somebody who's now sort of turning towards that, I think it's really important that we think about those sorts of things. And I do think there's a bit of a leftover from the days when a lot of people did voluntary work as therapists. And it is a caring vocation, so it may not be taken as seriously within the wider world as some other professions. So I think it's really important for anyone who is embarking on a training to really take themselves and their career as a psychotherapist seriously. It's a significant investment, and we need to think about things like aging and pensions and retirement, and I think understanding money and finance is a part of that. But having said that, the great thing about our career is that you can continue to work until you're older. And that's, unlike many other professions, it is one that values age and experience. I think that's really important. But, growth isn't always easy. It can be challenging at times. And so whilst it's, a gift, it's really important to be open to the challenges that the work can present. Sometimes we get asked questions about why do we need supervision? And I think there's something about that capacity to really gather support around you in the work.
And when you were training, how did you manage the kind of logistics? We talked about money in terms of your career and planning, but obviously there's significant cost in training. It takes time and quite a lot of time. Often people do work alongside it, but that's most of your time then dedicated to work and training. But how did you manage it?
Our training was one weekend per month, and we only have one 5-day residential per year. So I was able to kind of manage my annual leave around that. And I worked full time for most of my training to finance myself through the training. And then as I started to work in clinical practice, I worked in an agency and I was able to work in the evenings. So it was very full at the beginning. Life was very full because I was, working full time and then also a couple of evenings a week seeing clients. And I had to fit my own therapy and supervision around that. So I was busy and it was full. But I really wanted to complete my training and qualify and accredit as a psychotherapist. So I had a lot of motivation to carry on with it. And then, as I said, what then happened was I was able to then sort of transition, and I haven't made psychotherapy, one-to-one psychotherapy, my full-time job. It's not the only thing I do. I've been able to sort of do other things. And for me, that has worked for me. I'm not saying don't do psychotherapy full-time. For some people, that really works for them. But for me and my personality and what I needed the combination of both because I really enjoy working in teams and with other people. And sometimes I find the one-to-one work, if I'm doing too much of that, and I can feel quite isolating. So I needed that balance, and I've been able to sort of make that work for myself.
That's great. And that's why this podcast kind of came about, from different people I've spoken to, and all sorts of varieties of mixing and matching or just going in one particular direction or group or approach. But yeah, it's the great thing about psychotherapy is there's lots of angles and aspects to your career that you can look at and change in and evolve into. It doesn't have to be something that you do from the outset.
Absolutely.
And what advice would you give to someone who might be thinking about training as a psychotherapist or a psychotherapeutic counsellor?
I just think, be prepared for it to change your life, and knowing that, the learning never stops, and that despite the challenges, it's also a hugely rewarding occupation.
Think that's the great piece of advice. And you mentioned there about being open to growth and development. How has psychotherapeutic training changed you?
We don't have time for me to go into my whole life story, and as I'm not going to do that, but it has totally changed me. I think the training and then becoming a psychotherapist, it is a transformative practice. And it's helped me to create what I would call, you know, a handmade life way or a path. And I'm so grateful for that. It's not a career in the sense of progression or, you know, getting to the top of anything. Much more for me, it's about, you know, sort of going deeper and really kind of becoming more of who you are. That's how, you know, the profession has changed me.
Thank you, Siobhan. I think that's a really nice note to end on. It's been really great talking to you and finding out all about your career and the different aspects, how you progressed along the way. So thank you very much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks very much for inviting me.
That was UKCP's psychotherapist Siobhan McGee speaking to Helen Willingham, our Head of Content and Engagement. If you're interested in exploring training, then you can visit our psychotherapy training page, where you can find information on psychotherapy as a career, as well as the different training pathways available to you. Just go to www.psychotherapy.org.uk/psychotherapy-training. All episodes of My Psychotherapy Career are available on our website, psychotherapy.org.uk. You can also subscribe to our channel, UKCP, on your favourite streaming platform. Do you have any feedback you'd like to share with us on this episode, or any from our series? Get in touch with us at communications@ukcp.org.uk. Join us again next month. Till then, thank you for listening and take good care of yourselves.